Bible text for this morning, Book of Exodus, chapter 33, and it's verse 18, in which Moses asked the Lord, "Show me your glory." Now that particular request of Moses comes toward the end of a lengthy section in the Book of Exodus, in which Moses records for us his intercession before God, following the tragic incident of the molten or the golden calf. During the absence of Moses up Mount Sinai, an absence which went on for almost 6 weeks, the Israelites had grown rather impatient. They wanted to move on, but as they saw it, they had neither Moses nor any God to lead them. And before Moses had left them to go up into the mountain, he had told them to consult his brother Aaron if any issues came up that needed urgent decision or action. So the people had approached Aaron with the demand that he give them some visible, some tangible symbol of God's presence. "Rise up," they had said, "make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him." And feebly and foolishly Aaron had complied with their request, melted down the golden earrings which the people had brought with them from Egypt. When the heated gold was pliable enough, Aaron had shaped it into the image of a bull calf, in all likelihood, I guess, patterned on one of the gods of Egypt with which they had been familiar and which they had once worshipped there. The next day, the people had begun to worship the golden calf and to offer sacrifices to it. The Lord had then informed Moses of all that had taken place at the foot of the mountain. And initially, testing the strength of Moses' love for the people, God had spoken in terms of annihilating the whole nation and of making another nation, that is, from Moses' descendants. But Moses was having none of that. And it led to four prayers of Moses in which he interceded for Israel. In summary, he had pleaded that they were the Lord's own people, who he had recently redeemed from Egypt. That the Egyptians would undoubtedly gloat over Israel's destruction, and that God had indeed undertaken to bless and multiply the nation and take them through safely to the promised land. Moses had also entreated God to forgive Israel, going so far as to ask God to put an end to his own life if that forgiveness wasn't granted. God had agreed not to destroy the people, but had told Moses that he was no longer willing to accompany them personally through their future wanderings, that he would simply grant them the guidance and services of an angel. But in response, Moses had made it clear that unless the Lord would promise his own presence, and not only to Moses, but to the whole nation, then he, Moses, had no wish to move forward, thank you. Nothing short of such a promise would satisfy him. And indeed, such a promise he obtained. For immediately before my text, we read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I will do as you have said.'" And now, having asked so much for his people, and having by his tenacious pleading successfully restored that people to God's favor, Moses asked just one favor for himself. But what a favor! "Show me your glory." C.H. Spurgeon, great Baptist preacher of the 19th century, ventured the opinion, "It is the greatest petition that man ever asked of God." And God's response? Listen. "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name," he said. "But you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand upon the rock, And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. And the sequel? The Lord, we read in the opening section of the next chapter, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, a compassionate God who bestows his favor freely, that is, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. So no, Moses wasn't able to see the unveiled glory of God's face as he wished, only his back part. But although the Lord shielded Moses from glimpsing any more than the afterglow of his glory, he did let him see as much as any man has ever seen of his glory and radiance. And even this very limited sight, we read later in the passage, had the effect of causing the skin of Moses' face to shine to such an extent that he needed to cover his face whenever after he spoke to the people. No, Moses wasn't permitted to see the unveiled glory of God's face as requested. But in a sense, what he heard made up for what he could not see. For the Lord gave to Moses a tremendous revelation of himself. And what God described was not, as I might have expected, his appearance, but his nature. Not how he looked, but what he was, revealing, if you like, not the glory of his appearance, but the glory of his character, revealing himself as compassionate and gracious, wondrously patient, and ever ready to forgive. And yet in one sense there was a sting in the tale. For God revealed himself also as one who, I quote, will by no means clear, by no means acquit the guilty, thereby making it clear that he does not forgive sins by ignoring them, overlooking them, by sweeping them under some celestial carpet. Far from it. Make no mistake, he takes sin very seriously, and his own justice demands sin be punished. But how could this circle possibly be squared? How could those who are unquestionably guilty ever be forgiven? And to answer that question fully, we will need, with Moses, to jump forward some 1,500 years to another mountain. Has Moses prayed to see God's glory and been told that this will not be possible? Well, in one sense, Moses did have his prayer answered a millennium and a half later. For in his gospel, Luke tells of an occasion when Moses, along with the prophet Elijah, appeared briefly on what we call the Mount of the Transfiguration, where they, together with the disciples Peter, James, and John, saw the glory of our Lord Jesus, no less. And on that mount, Luke adds, they, Moses and Elijah, spoke with the Lord Jesus about his forthcoming death at Jerusalem. And it is that death which holds the key to the problem of how God can forgive the guilty, forgive the sinner, without in any way compromising his own justice. For by faith in our Lord Jesus, we can experience God's mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, because, but only because, he, the Lord Jesus, has borne the full judgment due to our sin. Now, in his rather weighty, systematic theology, Mr. A.H. Strong quotes the following story. A prisoner in Scotland was brought before the judge. As the culprit entered the box, he looked into the face of the judge to see if he could discover any mercy there. the judge and the prisoner exchanged glances, and then there came a mutual recognition. And the prisoner said to himself, "It's all right this time." For the judge had been his classmate in Edinburgh University 25 years before. But when sentence was pronounced, it was a very large fine, the limit of the law for the misdemeanour charged, and the culprit was sorely disappointed as he was led away. But the judge went at once and himself paid the fine, telling the clerk to write the man's discharge. And this the judge delivered in person, explaining that the demands of the law must be met. But having been met, the man was now free. End quote. So it is with me. I go free because another, my Lord Jesus, has paid in full the price of my forgiveness. I read how God protected Moses from the blaze of his glory by sheltering him, again I quote, in a cleft of a rock. And perhaps that expression reminds you, as it certainly does me, of the words of an old but well-known hymn, which spells out for us the only way in which any sinner like me can be saved. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress, helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Shall we pray?